Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick. And this week we are going to be talking about park etiquette and how to navigate all the other children that you don't know, and especially the other parents or nannies at the park. And with me this week is the wonderful Kirk Osgood. Hello, Kirk.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
It's so nice of you to be here. And I'm really excited to talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. But before we get into park etiquette, let's hear a little bit about your background and your path to nannying. I always think it's interesting how people got in it.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and or Port Huron, if you know that. And
shout out
to P-Hown. Okay. anyway, so but I started directing youth theater there. So I've been working with kids all my life, basically. And I also started working at a preschool, after school care type of facility. And then I moved over to Chicago in 2007. And I kind of like took a step back from working with kids, but I ended up getting a job at a children's gymnastics facility, and I've been there for 10 years now.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, 10 all around. You know, when you're really good with kids, parents come up to you, and they're like, oh, my son slash daughter, like, really like you. Do you ever babysit? And at first, I was like, oh, no.
Right.
But then I went ahead and did it for the first time, and I just really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the connection, more personal connection, I guess, from outside the classroom to the kids, just in the family's house or wherever. And so I really enjoyed that. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll continue to do this. And you know, it was super fun, and you get to do things that you don't really normally do. And I also feel being an actor, working with kids, using your imagination with like the Legos or the princess dolls or whatever it may be,
right,
keeps me very at the top of my game as an actor.
And so, playful,
yes,
I
and
found.
Playful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always joke that I play pretend professionally because I nanny by day and act by night.
Yes.
So in both ways, I'm using my imagination and engaging that muscle. Because it is a muscle that the more you use it, the better and stronger it gets.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm an only child, so I never like grew
Me too.
Up. Yeah. So I never like grew up with like siblings. And so like not that the kids I babysit for are my siblings, but it's kind of fun to just see like their dynamic and like, you know, working and like, so yeah, it kind of fills the void that I had a little bit growing up. So
I totally understand and feel that. Yeah, when I first started, I worked with a lot of twins, and as a child, I always wished that I was like the parent trap. I was like, please, let there be a twin out there. So yes, I seeing their bond, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Twins are the best. No, everyone's the best. Anyway, so great. Let's talk about park etiquette.
Sure, yeah.
What is your personal philosophy on taking kids to the park and how you interact with kids at the park? Do you more let them lead, like where they want to go? Mm-hmm. Do you suggest areas of the park to stay in?
Sure.
Suggest activities, things like that.
When I first started taking kids to the park, I dreaded it because I knew what was there. And I think it also depends on the park. Because, you know, like in Chicago, they have these like really small pocket parks. And then they have like Oz Park with like tennis courts and basketball and this play area. So I think it all depends on the type of park. So the family that I'm with right now, 3 days a week, we go when it's warm out to the park. At least try to go like every day. And the older one, who's 11, likes to go do basketball. And the younger one, who's 9, likes to stay on like where the swings are and where the climbers are and like hang out with friends. And of course, at Oz Park, that's nowhere near each other.
Right.
So it's a lot of like, well, we'll take 30 minutes on the playground and where the climbers and swings are, and then we'll take 30 minutes at the basketball court.
Yes.
And I like to flip-flop it. So if like Monday we started with the playground stuff, then Tuesday we're going to start at the basketball court. And sometimes, though, the 11-year-old likes to end on the basketball court. So it really doesn't matter to him. So, right. But since doing it constantly now, so I'm a very, very big firm believer that if you are a babysitter or if you are a nanny, you need to be playing with that child.
Right.
No matter what. Even if you're tired, or I get it, if you're like sick, then you probably even shouldn't be with the kid, but you need to be playing with the kid. So I love playing tag. I love playing the youngest one, the 9-year-old. He likes to play this game called like Hot Lava or whatever, where like we have to climb on the climber and not touch any of the ground.
Oh, so fun.
So, you know, so I like to do all those things. And I like to encourage his friends to come play with us. And the 11-year-old plays with us sometimes. And and yeah, so, you know, I really enjoy it now, but that's because I figured it out.
Right.
So I figured it out like with the, you know, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. And I figured out like what interests the 9-year-old more and what interests the 11-year-old more and how we can meet in the middle sometimes. And so now that that's figured out, then yeah, park doesn't really bother me at all very much, you know, but I like to... Not only with the kids that I watch, but also the kids that they interact with, I kind of just like to like stand back and almost feel like a therapist or whatever, and just kind of like see what their personalities are. Because I think the sooner you know what a kid's personality is, the sooner you can also start alleviating any fights that may happen or this or that, because you know, okay, this child's going to work really well with this game or that game, and this child works really well with this game or that game, but they work both together with this game. So let's always encourage this game to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And also learning to read their moods from, like, the moment you walk in the door of, like, oh, you're mad at your brother for something that he did last night.
Yep. Yes.
Like, I can already tell. So the games that require more teamwork, probably we should work up to those today instead of starting right away with those.
Yes.
No, I agree with that.
and you know, I'm like, I was also a person like, I don't like to talk down to kids as if they're kids. I kind of just like to talk to them like they're adults, or not really adults, but like they know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, so like sometimes, and it vice versa is between the 9-year-old and the 11-year-old, but sometimes they just have this mood and they don't want to do anything with me and the other one. And I said, okay, well, here are your options. Here are your two options. One, you can suck it up and play, or you can sit on that bench.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your options. Like, I need to know where you are, but I'm also going to play with your brother.
Right.
So these are your options. And, you know, sometimes they do choose the bench, but they choose the bench for like 5 minutes and then they come and join us. And other times they just join us and they're kind of in like a huff puff mood. And I'm like, if this is the attitude, I need you to go take that 5 on the bench.
Right.
You know, like, and then come join us again. So, yeah.
And yeah, that's a really good way of fostering autonomy, of letting them decide within reason how they want to spend their time.
Yep.
Which I do so much choice. And that's one of my like big nanny philosophies is I try to offer choice whenever I can.
Yeah.
So literally down to, do you want a red cup or a blue cup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also make them stick to their choice.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, So I think that's a really good way to approach it too, mm-hmm. of like, these are the things that we can do at the park right now. Mm-hmm. And these are the things we can't. Because I know a lot of times when I've taken kids to the park, the kids that I take are much younger. So we're slightly more limited in what we can do. But like the slide, the mm-hmm. freaking slide, when it's rained, those slides...
The metal ones, for sure.
Yeah, they stay wet mm-hmm. forever. And when Katie Leineke and I did the diaper bag episode, we talked about having like one of those microfiber towels in your diaper bag.
Oh, sure.
Because that will wipe it off. But if I don't remember, then I spend the entire time at the park like keeping the kids from going down that slide because they also don't think ahead to the fact that it's wet
yeah.
and immediately forget. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I do. I guess my personal park philosophy is, yes, I play with them. I want to be with them. But yeah, it is hard to find activities that they both want to be doing at the same time.
Yeah. You know, and it's especially hard when you have like an 11-year-old.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, I want my independence. Okay, that's, and I totally get that.
It's yes.
totally cool. Yeah. But that basketball court is like... all the way over there.
Right.
And if I'm running around over here and chasing your brother, I'm going to lose sight of that 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, like, yeah. I get it, but I can't have that. And I promise we'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, right now we need to stay where we agreed to.
Right.
So,
yes. Yeah. I get that. So we talked in that a little bit about handling different ages.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess just your thoughts on, let's say it was an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old, something where there isn't quite as much overlap. Or, I mean, I have a lot of experience with like 4-year-old versus 2-year-old.
Sure.
That's, in fact, probably what I have the most experience of going to a park with. And just finding things that both of them can do is tricky.
Yeah. So the 9-year-old, a lot of his friends have younger siblings
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
like to play with us. And they probably are in the age range of like 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So before we play, I make sure that everybody knows everybody's name. So this is this person, this is this person, their siblings or blah, 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 blah. And then I also put in to the fact that we understand who's the 5-year-old in this group.
Right.
We understand who the 7-year-old is in this group. And we understand that sometimes the 5-year-old is not going to remember the rules. And we're
right.
not going to explode in their face because they didn't remember it.
Yeah.
We're going to say, okay, we're the older kid here. Let's reiterate what the rules are and then continue playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great.
Yeah. So I always just like to just make it like so everybody knows out of the gate, these are the rules
mm-hmm.
and these are the people we're playing with. And if somebody comes into the park that we know and they want to play, great. I immediately go up to that child and be like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm their nanny. Like, great. This
right.
is the game we're playing. Currently, this person's it, or currently this is what's happening.
Right.
So that that person immediately again knows where we are in our book. So yeah,
yeah. Which is so inclusive and wonderful.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I bet the parents or nannies of those other kids really appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the kids that come to the park and play, like I know from my like gymnastics job that I have,
oh,
or
okay.
I know for doing the after school drama club at the boys' elementary school. Like, so I know a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think that's why the kids also are much more approachable to me when I'm
right.
with the boys, because they kind of already know me. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, which is great. And then I don't really have to do my like therapist, let's find out how this child works thing. Cause I automatically know
yeah.
how they're going to play. Yeah.
But that, no, I actually have never approached it like that. And mm-hmm. I think that that's a really, really good approach. I do a lot of talks about, like, there is a baby mm-hmm. on the play equipment today.
Yes.
Like, when we get to the park, we always take about 5 minutes to look around
mm-hmm.
and look for, like, what's going on at the park that day.
Yeah.
Usually I give them a snack because by the time we've walked over there for a 2 and a 4-year-old, that's a
that's
fair
a lot.
Ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do a stroller if it's like super hot that day, but a lot of the times I have them walk because they want to. So we usually take snack like right when we get there and a water break. And as we're doing that, I'm pointing out like, hey, see that baby? We're going to be really nice and make sure that our playing doesn't hurt that baby.
Yeah.
So if that baby's in your way, what do you think you should do? Talk through things like that.
Yeah.
Also a reminder about the swings.
Yes. Yeah.
Every time. I have such a love-hate relationship with swings. There have been a couple parks that I have gone to that actually change the color of the area that the swings are in.
Oh, cool.
Like the...
The faux grass or whatever.
Yeah, the faux grass or... Yeah, whatever it is. Or yeah. And so... And that's super helpful. And if there are any park creators... park engineers listening, I highly recommend that because it's so helpful to be like, don't go on the red part.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are not getting on or off a swing, do not run into the red part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because swings hurt a lot. Have you ever been hit by a swing?
I haven't, which is kind of amazing because the gymnastics place that I work at, we have indoor swings.
Oh, really?
Or indoor swing time. Yeah. So I deal with swings there. And then when we go to the parks, I deal with swings. Luckily, my boys aren't interested.
That's really good. Yeah.
In swings, unless it's like the last thing on our bucket list. Then right. They'll be like, okay, well, I guess we'll do swings.
Do three swings on the swing and then we can.
And take off. On.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, that's something that, I really struggle with, especially with other parents who maybe, or nannies who maybe aren't watching their kids as closely, who kind of treat the park like a babysitter.
Yeah.
And that in my philosophy is not how parks are meant to be treated. And so if I'm pushing a child on the swings, the number of times that I have had to like grab the swing and like stop the momentum so my nanny kid doesn't run into another kid.
Yeah.
So many times.
Which is unnecessary.
Yes.
And it also takes away from what you're doing, like the time you're trying to spend with the kid. What's really nice at Oz Park is that the way that the swings are lined up, they can either go this way where the climbers and all that stuff is, or if you just have the child flip around, it goes towards a fence where there's nobody ever playing because it's literally a fence and a bench.
That's so nice.
So I usually, if the boys are interested, have them go the other way. So then my back is the only thing that's going to be where the kids are running.
Okay, that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do have a tendency to want to swing where the kid is facing the park. But that's a good point because then you are actually a physical reminder of there is a swing here.
Yes, and then you can also control like how high they're going.
Right. Yeah, for sure. That's a really good point. Sadly, some of the swings in the parks that I go to are the big, like, plastic bucket swings, and they determine
which way.
You can't turn them around. And those, you know, are always the ones that the kids want if they're free.
Yeah.
They're like, can we go in that swing? Because it's comfy. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so I've ever only babysat for like older kids, but this one time I babysat for a 3-year-old, which was fine. But
right.
I have a hard problem with like poop and pee. And I was like,
we're
gonna time. So anyway, but I took him to the park and, you know, it was kind of a cluster. And of course he wanted swings and it's like those bucket swings that you were talking about. And so I was like, well, this is as high as we can swing today because as you can see, there's a million children here, so I can't push you super high. So, like, I guess sometimes, too, it's just, like, you know, again, setting the things right out the gate. Like, if it's crowded, the swing cannot go any higher than this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And I also talk, once they are learning how to swing for themselves, I also, as they're going through that process, we'll spend that time talking to them about how you have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
And especially on a swing, you can't go super high if there's a million kids here, or even if there's like four kind of toddler kids, don't go super high because the likelihood that they're going to walk into that area because they cannot understand the concept yet is very high.
Yeah.
So we do always talk about that. And the older, I feel like once they hit six and up, they start understanding that the cause and effect is within their grasp of like, if I go super high, I'm not going to be able to stop. And I might hit a small child.
Yes, yeah.
That's going to ruin everyone's day.
Right. Or, like, you know, sometimes my 11 and 9-year-old like to, especially when we're playing tag, like, it's they're so into it and they just have to get away. And sometimes they have to get away, like, right in front of the swings. And I, if I can see how fast that swinger is going and I know it's going to be more of a love tap than, like, a punch, I will legitimately let them get hit by
yes.
that and go, okay, well, we had this talk, so yeah. I'm not like right. I can help you get up, but I can also point out again, I told you not to go over here.
Yes, so, and I have definitely done that with older kids.
Yep.
With a toddler, I would never do that.
No, yeah, no, nope.
Just for my listeners, know that I'm not like, oh, you're two, go.
Yeah, yep.
But for for older kids, definitely the actual reminder of the swing will come back the other way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It's a good one.
When I had that 3-year-old, I was like, okay, swing time is done. And we're going to the play or the sandbox, which is like a mile away from the swing.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we're going to live until we decide to go home or whatever we want to do. But yeah. So whenever I had like the younger one, once it was done and he was like bored with swinging, then we exited the swinging area as far as we could.
Yes. Yes,
so
that
even
is
if he, as a 3-year-old, decided to just run away for like a hot second, I knew he would have to run pretty far to get hit by a swing. So,
yeah. Totally. Great. So, what is your personal favorite piece of equipment?
Oof.
At a playground.
Yeah.
Or a park. I mean, it could be like a basketball goal.
You know, there's this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a thing that you stand on and it's like uneven. So like if there's three people on this side, then the other side's going to go up and like vice versa and whatever. But there's like a, almost like a ship steering wheel or whatever in the middle.
Oh.
So what the boys like to do is we all like to get on it. And then we can't use our hands. We can only use like our shoulders. And we like try to like shove each other kind of off of it.
Uh-huh.
Again, at a safe,
right,
reasonable thing. But they like that game because they're boys and they like to be rough in quotations. And so, I mean, that's like, that's a big favorite thing, especially like if both boys have zero friends at the park for whatever that day, then they like to come together and play that game. And it like that game, we've played it for like a half hour. Like, I don't know. They just really like that. So I guess like that equipment's really fun. But in general, I think the park's just like a great place to enjoy all the equipment and use your imagination and like, you know, play the games of like zombie chase or like whatever they like to do. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. We do a lot of bear hunts of like there's a bear behind the tree or making friends with monkeys around. So that's a lot of what we do because we use the trees a lot at the park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like climbing in them and because they actually in the park that we go to most often, they have these trees that split off really early in the tree. So they are, I don't know if they picked them intentionally, but they're really good for climbing for little kids. And then the kids are so proud because they climbed a tree.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool.
Because they can't climb other trees and they always try.
Yeah.
I'm like, have fun. Go for it.
Yeah.
But those trees, they feel accomplished.
That's cool.
So, I love taking advantage of like every aspect of the park.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So the main trouble that I run into at the park is other people's children not behaving in great ways, being rude or cutting in a like very clear line.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your strategy for when another child is clearly being a jerk and their parent is nowhere or nanny is nowhere in sight?
Oof.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky.
So, again, like, usually what it, I know the kid who's playing with us. Very, right. very, very seldom do I just not know the kid or kids that are playing with us. So, when they start to act a fool, I just, like, gently remind them, like, hey, like, we're all in this together.
Right.
We need to... You're at a 10. I'm going to need you at a 5.
Right. Yeah. Because,
and especially like your sass needs to come right down.
Yes.
Because, you know, whatever. And if it just continues, I legitimately will say their name and be like, X, Y, and Z, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't straighten up, then we're going to leave the park. So.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that's really.
Yeah.
Taking a strong stance is good.
Mm-hmm.
Since I mostly play with younger kids, and so we'll go often like after school
mm-hmm.
once it warms up. But school for, you know, younger kids gets out at like 11:30. So something that we run into often is other toddlers who aren't meaning to, like, there's no malice behind them cutting. They're just like, I want to do the slide now. And so we do a lot of talking about, I advocate for my nanny kid. Sometimes, depending on their age, I'll say, hey, we were waiting in line. You know, if you want to wait, we'll be done in just a second.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it was our turn.
Yep.
If they just, like, cut in front, and there was no time for that talk, then sure. I will take a moment with my nanny kid of being like, now that kid didn't have great manners. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, yeah.
And then talk it out with them. And it's like, that's why we don't cut, because we don't want to have other people mm-hmm. have their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, that kid maybe didn't know.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to let them go. We're gonna not worry about it, because mm-hmm. we don't want our day ruined by their poor choice.
Right. Yep.
But, and then we continue on. But I do usually, maybe I go down the slide with the kid first and then have that talk of like, hey, this is what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's just talk through this.
Yep.
Especially depending on how upset they are.
Because
mm-hmm. sometimes one of the kids I have nannied for is a younger sibling through and through, and he just does not care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's so used to his brother kind of calling all the shots mm-hmm. that he's like, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it.
Sure.
But yes, I have found usually the first child, the firstborn, is more upset, because a lot of times they really like rules.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone breaks the rules, it's like, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, but not everyone thinks it through like you do.
Yeah.
And I admire so much in you
mm-hmm.
that you think it through. And so we try to turn it into a teaching moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't always go perfectly.
Sure. So sometimes at the kids' gym that I work at, we have like camps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a no parent or nanny participation drop off 3 hours, and that has kids that are like 3 to 5
mm-hmm.
and this type of jazz happens all the time.
Oh, I bet.
So, and I get, and it's totally different because it's not at a park setting and it's at a gym, and of course I'm the teacher with my other teachers, but like, if you know a kid's cutting in line, I'll just like pick them up and go, hey Snuggles, the line's back there, and just go literally walk them to the end of the line and be like, you will get a turn after these 12 children ahead of you
who have been waiting.
Yeah. Or like, you know.
But that's great to make it silly.
Yeah.
To not make them feel shamed or like, hey, get in the back of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a really good
For sure.
To do it.
Yep. Or like, I guess it did happen like one time at a park, but like I just went down to that kid's level instead mm-hmm. of being the adult who's up. I came down and just was like, hey, yeah, actually, you know, it's just right down there. Like, there's only 2 people behind us, so you'll get a turn like relatively soon. But, you know, and I think meeting them versus being above them,
mm-hmm.
they respond a little bit better. Some kids don't. That's gonna have to take that. But like, for the most part, coming down to them, they're like, oh, this guy is on my level or this girl's on my level. Cool.
Yes. Yeah. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Something else that I have struggled with at parks are when kids or other children are doing unsafe things. I really struggle to like turn off my peripheral.
Oh yeah.
To like even if it's not affecting my nanny kids, because sure. usually if something like that is going on, I will move my nanny kids away.
Yep.
But when their parent isn't paying attention or nanny, mm-hmm. I just, in my experience, it has mostly been parents.
Sure.
That this has been true of. And so they'll be, you know, playing on a piece of equipment in a not safe way. Mm-hmm. And I have made the choice sometimes to look around, try to locate their parent and be like, hey,
yeah, I
don't this know is
that
happening.
Yours,
yeah, I don't know if he belongs to you, but
yeah,
this is going on. Just mm-hmm. thought you should know. And sometimes I just have to let it go.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you can't find the parent, or if the parent's on a business call,
mm-hmm.
ugh, it like breaks my heart for that child too.
Yeah, uh-huh, for
like,
sure.
Don't take a business call at the park.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like this is time to be communicating and spending with your kid. Like,
right.
If you're at the park, then like, you know, your work time should be done at least for that what hour that you're gonna be there. Like,
yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Have you found? In the parks that we go to, the squirrels are very bold. Have you ever found that to be true in a park?
Because
that's like a hazard that I did not see coming.
Right, yeah.
But I have had a squirrel like go into the diaper bag and get out the snack.
No, absolutely
like,
not.
Carry it away.
I am deathly afraid of all animals that are not dogs. Uh-huh. And I... When I was a kid, I was chased by a squirrel one time.
Oh, no.
So I've really feared for them. Mm-hmm. But no, I've never had, like, bold squirrels.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the one. Wells Park, those squirrels, if there are any Chicago listeners, Wells Park, the squirrels are very, very bold. That is where they have, like, literally taken food away. I watched it.
I mean, away. I guess if you're a squirrel and you know what's going to be there... And nobody stops you the first 100 times.
Yeah.
Then you're going to go.
Yeah. I don't blame them. But I also, to bring it back to park etiquette, because you can't really have etiquette with a squirrel.
Sure.
They don't play by our rules. But I have seen a squirrel taking from another nanny's bag and like shoot it away and been like, hey, the squirrel knows that there's food in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful. That is another thing is the... friendships that happen at a park.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have ended up talking with nannies or parents that I never would have interacted with.
Sure.
But are my nanny kids and their kids get along so well. Have you ever found that? I mean, I guess you know most of the kids.
Yeah.
Already.
I mean, you know, like if a new kid comes over and is playing with us and stuff, like, again, I'll go into my therapist mode and then I'll just like kind of watch and I'll be like, no play date with this child. Or I'll
yes.
be like, hey, this kid was actually pretty cool. Like, you know, let me see. But no, I mean, half the time it's like their babysitter and their babysitter's like, oh, I have to check with their mom and da 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 da.
Right.
I'm like, okay, well, it's nice. The parents and nannies actually approach me a lot because I'm legitimately playing with the kids.
Right.
So like I've had parents come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, you're so great with those boys. Like, do you ever like need extra babysitting hours? And I'm like, no. Like,
I'm good.
Like, this is what you should be doing with your kid to begin with. Like, I'm not here trying to like up my resume.
Right.
Like, I'm here doing my job. So like,
yes.
So yeah, so I mean, but it's like it's fun to talk to them, and you know, and then if I know like the parent or nanny really well, I'll be like, oh yeah, it was really great. Oh, by the way, your son or your daughter was a little snippy. We talked about it, but just so you know. And they'll be like, oh, thank you. I wouldn't have known that. And I'm like, well, yeah, because mm-hmm. you're over there or nowhere near your child. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I I took my nanny kids to the Swedish American Museum.
Okay.
They have a children's play area in Chicago. They have a children's play area on the top floor. And one of my nanny kids was playing so well with another kid and played almost the entire time with this other kid. And the mom and I ended up talking, the mom of the other child and I ended up talking for most of the time while they played, because they were independently playing so well. And we like moved around with them, but we let them kind of control what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up, she was like, not to be weird, but could I like get your phone number to like, if we're at the Swedish Museum, then I could let you know. Because she was like, they're getting along so well. And so I like texted their parents and asked permission.
Sure.
But and they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
But yeah, so I have found some of those relationships that bloom naturally are so healthy and wonderful. And I really cherish when that happens.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's something that can be manufactured, but I do think that those talks and teaching them how to play with other kids and how to work out problems ends in those type of friendships being able to happen with a stranger, which is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was so rewarding to watch that, because he was doing things that we had talked about, of like offering the toy that he was playing with to the other kid, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Things like that. Or if he wanted what the other kid was playing with, being like, hey, do you want to play with this fishing rod for a while and I'll get the bucket? Things like that. And I was like, oh, you go. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I do think that spending the actual time at the park to play with them and show them how to play well with everyone and with the things that the park has to offer is, it pays off.
Yes.
I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's not a waste of time.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, especially like, you know, the way that you interact with like their friends or whatever, you know, and being like, oh, well, this is like, they're getting along really great and they've never met before. We're like, whatever. And like, oh, maybe that's how I need, maybe that's how I need to approach, you know, hanging out with people or talking to people or whatever. Because sometimes the 11-year-old that I watch has a little bit of a hard time with the communication skills and friends. So like I like to work on the friendship stuff with him a little bit more, because his younger brother is like totes fine. He's totes fine.
A little social butterfly. Yeah,
so I like to work on it with him a lot more. And especially even if we're not even around other kids, just the way that him and I interact and be like, oh, this is a great way, you know, that if your friend so-and-so was over, we, you know, would be, you would be interacting with them. And, you know, versus like, because nobody wants to see that. And that's like an immediate turnoff for somebody. So like, so I like always kind of like just try and put my best foot forward, even if one of the kids is like not being cool, but like say, okay, well, you know, shada. And then they see like that's how the situation was handled.
Yes. You know? Modeling that behavior is so important.
Yep.
Because otherwise, how can you expect a child to know how they're supposed to play if they have never seen it modeled correctly?
Yep.
If they've only ever seen other kids who are trying to work through it as well.
Yep.
I think that it becomes a lot harder than when you do have a nanny or a parent who is modeling how to speak to someone else.
Yes.
With kind words and in an inclusive way. So I think especially that introduction that you do at the beginning of playing and making sure that everyone knows everyone's name, I have never thought about that. And I will probably include that in my park playing from now on.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Because I think that that is really important. Because a lot of times the kids, if they do end up playing with someone, never ask their name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the time they'll be like, you know, will they be like, who's that? Oh, the kid in the blue shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
What is their name?
Like, and then if nobody can answer me, I just will literally go up and be like, hey, I'm just taking a time right now. I just want to know your name so I can tell these clowns over here, what your name is, who's been playing with you for the last 20 minutes.
Right, and didn't take the time to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I also, some of the kids I have nannied for, the older sister does such a sweet job of introducing her younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I've been trying to encourage with all of my nanny kids.
Yeah.
Is like, hey, like, when you're entering into a new group, it's okay to be like, I'm Sally and this is Susie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then my younger sister, Susie, what's your name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all that modeling, I think, is really important. And the power of names, I think, sometimes can get overlooked in all the hubbub of mm-hmm. park time.
Yep.
One last thing that... for me, and then we'll see what you have to say, but how to handle the freaking ice cream man. Have you run into that as a problem ever?
What, it's funny, the ice cream man's never at the park. It's always at the school. And
yes.
I'm like, this needs to not even be a thing.
I know, like, I completely agree.
Luckily... my boys are really never, ever interested in ice cream from that guy, but they want to go to DQ. And I'm like, okay, well, how was school? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Did you do your homework? Blah, blah, blah. No? I guess it's no DQ today. Like,
right.
So it becomes more of like, well, you do good, and then good is given.
Right.
So, so I've never personally had a problem with the ice cream man, but it's just like... totally American for us to now have ice cream men right outside of a school. It's like, come on, like, put it down the block a little bit. Like,
yes.
You know which way these kids are traveling. Not everybody's on a bus, so like,
right? No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
I do a lot of, if we do, because in the summers mm-hmm. we go to the park almost every day.
Yep.
Every day that it's not raining. We go to the park. And so I do a lot of, you can get ice cream one day this week mm-hmm. and then letting them choose what day.
Yep.
And they can even pick different days. They've only done that once because then one of them was very jealous.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you had yours on Tuesday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So sorry that your brother gets it today, but this is the day that he picked.
Yep.
And so we do that. Or... another thing that I'll do with, like, younger kids is I'll be like, oh, you brought your money? Are you going to buy me ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, I didn't bring my money. And I'm like, oh, well, then I guess we can't get ice cream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is annoying that talk has to happen every day at the park or mm-hmm. after school.
Yep.
When the ice cream guy or guys, mm-hmm. a lot of times, it's... I'm like, there's like a turf war.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, it's like
which
West Side
ice
Story.
Cream. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I've seen one ice cream man chase another one away from like prime real estate, and it was fascinating.
Because obviously you can't
slice of life.
Leave your ice cream cart, so you almost have to take that with you if you're chasing another person.
No, he was like pushing his ice cream cart like down the sidewalk to make the other one keep going.
Yeah.
It was like bumper cars, but
it's
ice cream.
Control.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
We should start a movement.
Yes.
Well, great. Is there anything else?
About the
park. About park etiquette that you feel like we didn't talk about? We talked about a lot.
It's not necessarily park kind of things in general, but like I always like to do at least a 5-minute countdown. Like, hey, we're leaving in 5 minutes.
Oh,
that's
great.
I will tell you again in 2 minutes, and then I'll tell you when we're leaving.
Yes.
And you can't be like, oh, I didn't know because I've now talked to you twice about it.
Yes.
Like, so I always like to give like a countdown of like, hey, it's 4:30. At 4:35, we are cutting out.
Right.
So.
No, I think that's really, really great advice. Something else that made me think of is I will often talk to my kids about if I think that they are on a specific piece of equipment, if mm-hmm. they're old enough that they can go you know, the park's small, one of those little pocket ones, but they're on a specific piece and they want to move to a different piece and I'm like playing with the other sibling, then I will be like, you have to see the whites of my eyes and get confirmation that I heard you, that you're moving.
Yes.
Yep. Like you have to come over and tell me and you have to see me nod.
Yep.
We also do like thumbs up across the park sometimes. So I will put my thumb up and if they're doing well, they put theirs up. And if not, then they put theirs down and then I come over.
Yep.
So that's a way that we manage like in those smaller parks where it's fine for me to be playing on the teeter totter with one sibling and the other one is going up and down the slide a bunch.
Yeah.
That's some ways that I have been able to let them have a little bit more independence at the park without sacrificing safety.
Yeah. Yep. I like to also, like, if I'm, like, if the older one wants to, whatever, do swings, and the other, and the younger one's still playing with his friends on the climber and stuff like that, I will be like, okay, I'll meet you at the swings. I'm going to go talk to your brother and be like, hey, me and your brother are going to be over here at the swings. And then I will again go, you do not step outside this fence. You do not do this or that. Like, these are where you are allowed to play. This is where I'm going to be. If you need me, come get me. However, if I see you outside where you're supposed to be, our park time is done.
Yes.
So, yes. Like, it's giving them the independence.
Mm-hmm.
But also knowing that if you take your little independent self outside where you're supposed to be, we are done.
Yes. Setting very clear boundaries and sticking to them. I completely agree with that. I think that that is a really great thing. And I do the same thing. Because, the more you remind them, the more they remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think literally having that talk every time is probably a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, if you have anything that you're like, wait, but they didn't talk about this, please email in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Nania is N-A-N-N-Y-A. And ask questions and I'll get in touch with Kirk and have these questions answered for you. Or if you have a fun story about something that happened at the park, email that in and I will share it on the air. I will never use the child's name. Don't even send it to me. But I will share your name if you would like me to. Or you can send it in anonymously. That's fine too. Also, please, if you are enjoying Chronicles of Nania, if you have gotten something out of it, it would mean the world to me if you would take 5 minutes to go on iTunes and review it. So give whatever star rating. I would love a 5-star rating, but whatever you think is fair. And then write out why you like it or write out something that you think we could be doing better. I would love that feedback. And it really, really helps the podcast get to more listeners by writing that review. So if you're enjoying this, it would mean the world to me if you would do that, to go onto iTunes and just write a little review. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Chronicles of Nania will get you there every time. I post a lot of pictures on Instagram. It's my favorite platform because the pictures are worth 1,000 words. And so follow us on all those. And yes, please rate, review, and subscribe. And then we end every episode with a little story and Kirk's, or a quote, and Kirk has brought one for us.
Yeah. So, of course, I like to teach my boys that I watch 3 days a week crazy sayings. And when we walk home, either from school or from the park, I've taught them that little line from Scary Movie that Brenda says with is like, don't split the pole now. It's very, very bad luck. And they like it so much that they like link arms with me and like, you know, try not to split the pole or like try to make us split the pole or whatever. So, but my boys now know that saying and say it all the time as we're walking down the street. Don't split the pole now. It's very, very bad luck.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. It's amazing. Like how quickly
they pick up.
They pick up like little things that I didn't even know I was saying sometimes, but that's great.
Yeah.
that you've turned it into a game.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Kirk, for being here.
No problem. It was fun.
And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. The Chronicles of Nania is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.